Final speaker for this session is Troy Seville from the University of Maryland.
All right, so I'd like to thank the organizers for giving me the chance to speak here today. I'm a PhD student in the physics department at the University of Maryland, and this is some work that I did with my advisor, Stephen Jordan. So we're looking at the measurement of ground state observables for the critical easing model and the robustness of those based on a Merrill-like state preparation procedure, as well as some data that we got by implementing the smallest case instance on the Honeywell H0 ion trap. So the question that we were kind of thinking about is, you know, what do we do with these small NISQ devices that are now becoming available to researchers? And we know that matrix product states have been ubiquitous for classical simulations. And there are also these other tensor networks called MARA, which are targeted for critical states with infinite correlation length. However, they can be unwieldy in practice for contracting on a classical computer. However, you couldn't interpret those isometries and unitary disentanglers as gates that you would implement on a quantum computer, where those limitations kind of are no longer as big of a challenge. However, with limited resources, small numbers of qubits, we can't really prepare a whole state. So what we'll be interested in is looking at local observables, where we just prepare the reduced density matrix on the support of that observable, and we only have to implement the gates that are in the past causal cone of the support of that observable. And since these are new devices, we're also interested in trying to benchmark, see how well our qubits are, how good our gates are doing. So using a free fermion circuit, which is classically simulable at large scales, we can kind of test these devices as they get larger and then tweak our circuits to have very similar feel to them, but break out of this non-interacting fermion space to get to some more interesting physics in the future. And since we don't have the noise levels yet to do fault tolerance, if we can do anything that's noise robust in some kind of way, that would be all the better. So an overview of what I'm going to talk about, basically there's this DMARA circuit ansatz, which is MARA inspired, doing these scale transformations to prepare a state rather than renormalize it. And these are conjectured to be robust against noise for preparing local observables. And in particular, we're going to look at this case that's designed using wavelets from the signal processing theory for free fermions, and then transform that into something that we can implement for the critical easing model and on a very small device. Then I'll tell you a little bit about our error model and some of the numerical analysis we did for how these state preparations should behave under some small noise, as well as some error mitigation techniques you might want to use. And then finally, some of the data that we got by implementing the smallest instance on the Honeywell ion trap. So here's the picture of the MARA tensor network. Rather than going from bottom to top and renormalizing, we're going to think of this as a state preparation procedure going from top to bottom. So if we wanted to measure an observable on those six spins down at the bottom, we would only need to prepare the gates in the past causal cone, which is shaded here in red. And so that's the kind of idea of what we're going to want to do. Now, DMARA is a slight variation on the MARA tensor network that's geared more, natively towards quantum computers, where rather than having your isometries and disentanglers with a variable bond dimension to get a better approximation scheme, you instead have a depth D quantum circuit implementing each scale transformation, and increasing the depth of this circuit is going to give you more expressivity and a better approximation. Now, if you're implementing the scale transformation on a fixed number of qubits, you could think of this as a quantum channel that you're iterating over and over, and there's going to be a unique fixed point for this quantum channel that you're converging exponentially towards with each iteration. And that fixed point is going to be the reduced density matrix on that number of qubits for your approximate ground state. And for a depth D circuit, 2D minus 2 is going to be the smallest number of qubits you can get on that. And the idea of why this is noise robust is, well, with each scale transformation, you're, you know, taking some noisy qubits from your last iteration, you're introducing some new fresh qubits that should be low on errors, and then you're also discarding some noisy qubits from the edges. So you're kind of getting rid of some errors there. So you're kind of having this equilibrium between, you know, fresh qubits and errors accumulating. So if you have a constant gate error rate, then the errors on your local observables should be proportional to that error rate and the depth of each of these scale transformations, but independent of the total number of gates that you've applied. So this is an example of some of these quantum channels that we're thinking about. So this is like the d=2 and d=4 case. Each of these are channels on 6 qubits. And as you can see, you have these pretty uniform patterns of 2-qubit gates. And here I just have some orange regions with their past causal cones highlighted. So these are the channels that you would want to be iterating to steer towards this fixed point state. Now, in particular, we want to think about free fermions, because our main reference for this was this paper by Evan Blee and White on entanglement renormalization and wavelets. So the idea there is that in order to prepare the ground state of free fermions, you want to occupy all of the plane wave modes with negative energies. However, that's a costly global transformation. And what we've kind of seen from the Mera picture is that you can actually get at these states in a local way by doing real space renormalization. So that's kind of what the idea of these wavelets are, is as you can see from this diagram I took from the Evan Blee and White paper, rather than having the plane waves that go mix all of your local modes together, you're going to use these alternate bases of your fermionic modes, which have compact support and are separating these low and high frequency wave packets in order to occupy all of your negative energy modes, your long wavelength modes, but doing it in a local way in that kind of Mera-like real space renormalization fashion. So Glenn is going to be talking later in the week about this in a lot more depth. And I think Stephen is also going to be mentioning something about wavelets in his quantum chemistry talk after this. So going from free fermions to critical easing model, there's a couple of these duality transformations that you're going to want to do, decoupling your fermions into two pairs of free Majoranas and then using a Jordan-Vigner transformation. And as a slight caveat, we're actually going to be using this 2- and 3- body term Hamiltonian, which is the fixed point of our quantum channel. And the only difference there is we're leaving out this transition layer that you would normally do at the end, which is just some local unitaries that bring you to the more typical critical easing form that you're used to. So the native gates that we're going to be using on an ion trap are these Molnar-Sorensen gates, which are inducing a 2-qubit XX rotation by coupling some vibrational modes and optic modes on your ions in your trap. And the main error model that we're going to be looking at is just an imprecision in the angle of this gate that you're doing. And the reason we chose that is because 2-qubit gates are the, you know, noisiest gates there. So we're just kind of targeting the largest error that you would have in your state preparation. Although we did, you know, do some of these results for single qubit depolarizing noise and saw, you know, some very similar results. So this is an example of the actual gates or the actual channels that we're going to be implementing broken down into their native gates. So each of those general 2-qubit tensors is just broken down into two of these native rotations, as well as some single qubit gates. And these do qualify, since we're kind of looking at something equivalent to free fermions. These are match gate tensor networks or match gate circuits. So they're all completely classically simulable. And we could do this for a large scale system. Okay, so now we're looking at the energies of these fixed points of the noisy channel. So using our error model to find a noisy version of this channel and looking at what the fixed point of the noisy channel is, we can see that for zero noise, the y-axis shows that the d=4 channel is giving a better approximation and it's closer to the exact energy density shown by the red line. However, the larger depth channel is more susceptible to noise. So as you increase the value of the variance on your angle there, at some point the D equals two channel does give you a better approximation of the noise, of the energy density, because the noise is getting stronger and the D equals two is less susceptible to your gate errors. And then below that in the triangles, if you're using some error mitigation techniques, such as this zero noise extrapolation from the reference at the bottom, you can actually, you know, even though the D equals four gate is noisier, you can use error mitigation techniques to have that crossover come at a much stronger level of noise. So another thing we can look at is the eigenvalues of this quantum channel. Since this is implementing a kind of real space renormalization, the eigenvalues of the channel are strictly less than one, except for the fixed point, of course. And those correspond actually to the scaling dimensions of local operators. And so you can see that the channel gives a pretty good approximation to the scaling dimensions of the critical easing model, which are given in green. And for the noisy version of the channel, we're still getting a pretty good approximation of those scaling dimensions, although they are drifting up a bit and kind of getting smoothed out. But that's another good check that, you know, what we're doing, even in the noisy case, is giving us some good approximation to this critical state fixed point. So now looking at the Honeywell ion trap, this is only having, they only have six qubits, but they have pretty good two qubit gate fidelities. And crucially, they have global connectivity, which we're gonna need in order to do these hierarchical kind of circuits where we're not just dealing with nearest neighbors all the time. And they actually do that by transporting the ions around. And also crucially, they have the capabilities of doing mid-circuit measurements and reset of the qubits. So with only six qubits, we're gonna implement the channel on three qubits. And each time we're gonna reset three of the qubits to use as our fresh in silico for the next round. So this is an example of one of the circuits that we ran where we're implementing the channel three times, getting four qubits out at the end. And after each channel, we're, you know, resetting some of the qubits to prepare for the next layer. So now we're also gonna start it with two different initial states. One is the mean field solution and then a state orthogonal to that, which gives us a higher energy state. And that's just to get a pretty good starting state that we only need single qubit rotations to prepare. And then seeing how that low and high energy state both converge to a similar energy density. So this is an example of some of our numerics. Looking at the noiseless channel as well as the noisy channel and how they each converge to different values of the energy density for the noiseless and noisy fixed points, starting from our initial states, psi one and psi two. And finally, this is the noisy version compared with our data from the Honeywell computer. So for the case of psi two, you actually see a pretty good agreement between the data points there. And that's why I chose, you know, this value of the noise for all of the plots so far, is it was such a good fit for that psi two initial state. Now using the same value of the noise for the convergence of psi one, we're seeing some more funny business going on there. So it doesn't fit quite as well, but you do see kind of roughly the shape of what we expect to happen. Now I was hoping to get some more data points on this plot. But there's this other quantum resource that theorists normally don't hear much about, which is liquid helium. And so I've been waiting on that. And my last jobs actually just ran this morning, so I didn't have time to get those on there. But be on the lookout for our paper to see how the rest of the iterations converge and how stable the energy densities are. So, you know, now that we've kind of seen that this is a feasible thing to do, you can, you know, do many gates and perform this iterative channel to get kind of a stable fixed point state. We're looking to look at other error models that might be overlooking some of the more systematic, you know, spam errors that we neglected. There's also the H1 system is available now with 10 qubits. So with that, we could compare the D equals two and D equals three versions of this channel. We also didn't get to implement any mitigation techniques, but we're, you know, interested in looking at that. as well as how we could generalize the circuits to target some interacting cases. So thank you.